are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
From story to story, journey to journey, we podcast. This is us, Beacons of Hope. Welcome to Up to Me Radio. I'm Melinda Davis, executive producer, and thank you for tuning in as we present Pandemic. God has prepared us. Are you listening? This will be a three-part roundtable series starring all Up to Me Radio show hosts. We have a phenomenal panel. And so let's get started because I want to introduce our moderators and then they will introduce the rest of the panel. First, Kim Crable, a guiding light to what can be and a beacon of hope as the host of the Coffee with Kim radio show. Kim is the founder and director of Roses and Rainbows Ministries, a nonprofit to help others use past hurts to become a voice of God's hope. She's an author of 8 books and for the award-winning Burdens to Blessing, a transformational journey to healing. She's also a television show host of Coffee with Kim TV, which is airing on 7 faith-based television networks. Maura Gale, a spiritual midwife, helping others birth their visions. A beacon of hope as the host of the OMG O Maura Gale radio show. Maura is an author, an actor, and a producer. You've seen her on stage, television, film, and her upcoming film release places her opposite Lawrence Fishburne in Brother's Keeper, coming out soon. One of her earliest television roles was in the award-winning Oprah Winfrey miniseries, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Maura has numerous other film, stage, and television credits to her name. Visit Kim and Maura's show pages at the Up to Me Radio website so you can learn more about them. And now, let's get started with this conversation. Join me in welcoming Kim Crable and Maura Gale.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my gosh, how exciting it is to be starting part 2 of this 3-part series. Melinda, thank you so much for your vision for Up to Me Radio and what it means to all of us, because it really is up to me. And that's what we want to talk about as we go into this pandemic. God has prepared us. Are we listening? You know, we hear a lot, but listening means we're ready to lean in. We talked about that a little bit last night in part 1. I hope that you enjoyed that. What an incredible time we had. What an incredible discussion we have. But at the end of the night, we realized that what God was showing us as we asked the question, what happened, that he was truly saying, what happened is I'm bringing you back to you. I'm bringing you back to who you are and the relationship that we have. I love to hear in Belinda Baker when she said, when she was talking about her part, right, Maura? When she was saying, God has called us to rest.
Yes.
And I love she said, in our rest, we will be able to find room for him to reveal what it is that he wants us to know. And so tonight, as I introduce, and I'm so honored, can I just say I'm so honored to be hosting with Maura of all people. I love her so much. I know we're sisters. I know we are.
We are sisters. You know, same dad, different moms, right?
But as we open this up, session 2, part 2, is about the grief. We brought ourselves to who we were last night. And we I think that was very poignant with all of us. But tonight we have the most incredible guest, incredible people of wisdom. And we're going to open tonight session two up in the grief, letting go of what seemed normal so that we can make room for all the possibilities. So as we get started tonight, I'm again so delighted and thank you, but we're going to bring on our first guest. And Mara, how exciting is this? We have Kathy Hood is in the house.
Kathy Hood is in the house.
I know that Kathy has on Up To Me Radio, she has the Kathy Hood Show. Of course it's the Kathy Hood Show. Well, what else could it be called? Kathy's word is discovery. Boy, don't we need to talk about that. I love what she says about herself. She loves helping others discover treasures in the darkness. But this is what, Kathy, listeners, I want you to hear this, because this is everyone's dream. Yes. And Kathy's going to show you how to do it. Kathy says she's known as a gift coach, but this is what she says. She definitely knows that she is walking in her purpose. Wow. Kathy, come on in and help us to know that in this new season of our lives that we can walk in our purpose. Welcome, Kathy. So delighted to have you.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for inviting me. Well, bringing us all together. I love it. I love the whole concept and just all of us coming together with one, really one message, but, you know, just coming from all different angles. So, yes, I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about.
So Kathy, let's go ahead and just jump right in. Your word is discovery. And we know that you're gifted with helping people discover gifts and talents. So as it relates to this pandemic, what did you think would be one of the very first steps that one could take in order to begin to discover perhaps new gifts, new talents in this new season that isn't, you know, we call it a new normal, but there's nothing normal about it. So can you share with us how they may be able to take one step toward discovering, you know, what gifts God may have given them and is trying to get them to reveal in this new season?
Wow. Okay, so, you know, just thinking about what season we are in right now, you say, right, it's really not new. It's just the fact that we just didn't know. You know, the word tells us we perish because of lack of knowledge, right? And that means it's something that we don't know. And so what we should do is, and I found myself, you know, sharing with a lot of people and try not to be what they call it, cliche-ish, you know, about, you know, pray about it and all of that. But prayer really does work. And the one thing that we have to do really is just ask God, you know, to show you. You know, it is show me. And, you know, for the things that we are having or the things that we do in life, we really can find ourselves in the Bible. So, you know, there's tons of stories, you know, the game. I always heard the game is the same. It's just new players. Right. And so when we ask God to show us who we are and we just take that time to really meditate and listen and just really pray and look for the answer. Also that, you know, you begin to look for people that have the resources that you need in order to, you know, discover your gifts. So that was one of the things that I did when I was looking for me.
Kathy, one of the things that that brought me to finding out my purpose, I hit a real desperation in my life. Do you think that this pandemic is bringing people to such a desperation that they're more willing, that they're seeking their spiritual gifts, that they're seeking a true meaning to their lives?
I would hope so. I really would hope so. And just, you know, just to be honest, you know, a lot of people are in another space, you know, and so it's really up to the one who's carrying this gift, which is me, to help them to understand that it's important to go for it and look for it and to discover your gifts. Because, you know, what makes people think that that's really important, right? And so because that we people are living a life that either they were, you know, depending on the environment that they were raised in, the beliefs that they have, their level of relationship that they have with God, whether they find it to be important or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but people are pretty much like in survival mode and not really understanding that, you know, if they really were to tap into God, you know, just a little bit more, that they would find out that discovering of their gifts would really be the key to helping them to get through this pandemic. It really will.
So let me ask this, because you help extrapolate that and excavate that out of people, what, during this pandemic, because you talk about the word and we have to seek the word, what is it that trips people up most that you've discovered in helping them discover their gifts? What is it that trips them up most when it comes to actually walking in the gift? Because we know there's a difference that from people having a job and doing it successful, but not necessarily walking in their gift. So what have you found to be the most, the biggest stumbling block or hiccup or roadblock for people actually listening, hearing God, and then doing the work?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's an excellent question, because what I teach in my class is about what are the obstacles that keep you from flowing in your gifts, right? And so one of the obstacles is fear. That is the main thing that keeps people from walking in their gifts, you know. And then there's anger, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness. So when they're walking in these, you know, with these things, just really just taking just total control of their hearts, it's hard for them to be able to flow in what they've really been called to do. Because, you know, a lot of them, when they're walking in that space, it's just hard for them to believe that it's anything else, especially if they are, if they've been walking in that place for a mighty long time.
Hey, Kathy, you talk about fear. Explain to the audience, what fear is the word we hear all the time. What are we so afraid of?
You know, it's funny. We had a little talk with some friends yesterday, and you know what we found out? People are, it can be many of things, because guess what? Somebody has already told you that you're not going to be anything, that you can't have. And so now here I come to say, oh, yes, you can be that, you can have that, you know? And so they are fearful of what somebody else has implanted, you know, in their minds or in their hearts. And so that's one thing. Some people are fear of success. And I used to say, how can you fear success? But, you know, what if it does work? How am I going to get this done? I cannot do this all by myself. Who's going to believe me? Why do they think, you know, who am I that I have the answers to, you know? So all those things are flooding in, those thoughts of actually believing that they can really do it, even though, you know, they can see the vision. They can see it. And nobody else is hearing what they're hearing, and nobody else is seeing what they're seeing. And so when they try to share that vision, you know, and most of the time, nobody's supporting that, you know, because they don't believe it themselves. They're not walking in a place of forgiveness. They're not walking in a place of wanting to be successful, where they may want to be, but they don't know how, you know, and they are, you know, still one of the ones that's walking around feeling like they can't have or be or do.
There's a little activity that we do sometimes. I think Melinda did this with Burdens of Blessings. And Kathy, what we did was I asked everybody to put on a sheet of paper, little stickies, what it is that their mind is telling them, things that people said to them that are holding them back, things that the enemy says to them, and just stick it on their body and walk into the room. And we were in tears. Because even with this group of, you know, smart people of wisdom, you know, the things that coming at us all the time, and for our listeners, for us to understand that we're all dealing with that. And I think that's the beauty of what you're doing, Kathy, is that if something has to be stronger, the lies or the truth,
right?
You know, and we've got to make the truth stronger. Mara,
I wanted to say, Alicia Ward had a question. So let's go ahead and we'll allow her to ask this question of Kathy Hood.
Yeah, it's more like a comment. I wanted to piggyback off of the question was asked, what stops people? from wanting to pursue. I wanted to add, people get comfortable. They get comfortable with being comfortable. And so they are afraid to step outside of that comfort zone. So that has been something that I know a lot of people who I've talked to on my journey, they're just, you know, you're in a space and you're comfortable there, and you don't, you're afraid to step outside of that. So then that piggybacks on top of the fear.
Yeah, right. That, back to that original sin, right? That fear, it'll paralyze people. Comfort, right. It'll paralyze you. Go ahead.
And so when you talk about, and that's why I tell people, you know, to get ready to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right, exactly. You know,
because it's going to take a lot of what they already have on the inside of them. They just never used it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so these are the times where we have to strengthen those things, you know, like when we're working out, muscles that we haven't used in a long time, you know, you have to keep working at it until you build up your strength to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was something I was getting ready to say. Yeah, so when you're talking about the ones who even, you know, some of the gifted people do have the faith to do it, but it's the support. You know, they don't feel like they have the support to do it. And so they become, you know, doubtful, or, you know, sometimes they'll just give up, because sometimes it can be the closest person to you in your home, you know, or it can be your bestest friend, all because they don't understand, you know, and just, you know, when you're sharing. That's why I love, absolutely love helping people to discover their gifts and just how beautiful that is and how strong that is. And once they begin to see that it is part of their DNA, it is how God made them. You know, this is a strength or a superpower that you have that you can use in the earth. And all you have to do is use it. Just use it.
Kathy, I have a question real quick. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. We have so many questions.
I know, it's like I'm so pregnant. Let me ask a real quick question, because you and Kim mentioned this when she introduced you. You're walking in your gifts. So what is your spiritual gift?
I'm glad you asked. So what I teach on are the motivational gifts, and there are 7 of the gifts. And so my top 3, we have all 7, guys. Everybody has all 7. But when you take the assessment, you find out what your top 3 are. So my first one is exhorter. So an exhorter is a very positive, you know, just people person, just love to see people live victoriously. So now you see why I do what I do. And so my girlfriends used to always say, when we meet somebody new, please don't tell this girl your vision, because before you leave here, you will have a business plan or a marketing plan or something, because I'm going to tell you, you can do it, you know, and this is what you need to do. My second gift is perceiver. And so as a perceiver, I'm like, hey, I'm the one that tells it like it is. And I'm just speak honest. If you don't want to know, don't ask a perceiver, you know, they'll tell you the truth. We're ones that we see things that others don't necessarily see, you know, and so intercessor. So it's so much more to that. So my third gift is administrator. And so administrators are natural born leaders, you know, and we are ones that we love to delegate, you know. So people say that it's like we love to tell people what to do, but what it is that we love to have people to work in the place that they want to work in, where we see that you're gifted in. So there's no need in putting you in a place where we know you're not going to be happy and you're not going to complete the task. So when I tell you, of course, you guys know it's so much more to it than that, but I scored 100% as an exhorter. I scored 99% as a perceiver, and I scored 98% as an administrator. So you can tell why I feel so strongly about a lot of the things that I do.
Oh, I just love that so much. And I think all of us now want to go to come to your house and do the testing. Come on. So you can expect that. We'll just wait on the invitation. But Kathy, I love the fact that you said we have all those gifts, because I think that just helps us know that there's growth within us, even beyond what we have. But here's the thing that I would like for you to share with our audience that are listening, because I believe there's been thousands of books, of course, written on, you know, finding your spiritual gift, finding your purpose. And you have found a way to do this in a way that seems so in sync and can help people do that to fulfill God's calling. So to our listeners, I would like for you to explain the difference in a person who doesn't know what their gifts are and then what they look like after you have helped them discover their gifts.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. Okay. So that person, before they know their gifts, they have low self-esteem. They have no confidence. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in the things that they do, but actually other people are utilizing their gifts. So when they're looking at somebody else being successful, they're really looking at themselves because mm-hmm. they're the ones who put in the manpower or the woman power, you know, and they offered up, you know, all of the support and the information and the resources and mm-hmm. all the giftedness that they, you know, they possess. And so people will use your gifts, you know, because they can see it and they know they need it. And so they're looking, you know, like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I can do. Oh, I don't have any gifts. I hear all that all the time, right? But then the minute they get in the program and they discover their gifts, their confidence shoot through the roof,
yes.
Right? I mean, awesome. And when you see it, I see it all the time and I get so excited that their confidence is just amazing. And then you find them really embracing that those gifts and stop giving it away. You know, it's still okay to use it to help other people because that's what our gifts are for. It's the benefit of others, you know, but they take it, they embrace it, and then they just become a better version of who they are. I mean, they speak up a little bit more or a lot more, you know, I just see a lot of things changing. They begin to build. And I just see the joy, because the one way you'll know that you're not operating in your gifts is when you're frustrated every single day, you know, about what you're doing, where you are, where your life is going. But the minute they begin to start, you know, being joyful about what they do every single day, then they know that they're operating in their gifts. So I absolutely love it. It truly happens.
And so I just, you know, Mara, we want our listeners to know that this is why we're doing this, you know, because, you know, during this pandemic, people have had time to slow down. Yes. And I think from my ministry, I bet from you all, we're hearing people saying, I don't feel fulfilled. Time's running out. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's one of the practical sides of what we're doing, because like you, I don't like those cliches. I don't like just pray about it. No, here's a practical application. Go to Kathy.
Go to Kathy.
Well, what a pleasure it's been having you. And I just thank you so much. And for anybody else on the panel, if you have a question, please know Kathy's going to be around for the rest of the evening. But now I'm going to switch it over to Mara to introduce our next guest. Kathy, thank you so much.
Always my pleasure. Absolutely.
What wonderful tips and insights. Kim Crable, thank you so much for how you pull things out of us. Thank you for the generous handoff. And I too am honored to be co-facilitating this conversation with you for what I believe is needed. You know, one of the acronyms that our executive producer, Melinda Davis, came up with was, we want to instill hope. And that word hope encompasses a lot. But one of the things that she has had the Holy Spirit download to her is that it means help our people evolve. And so anything that Kim and I can do in conjunction with you under the umbrella of Up to Me Radio and Melinda Davis, we want to help advance that conversation. So it is with that intent in mind that I bring our next guest to this platform. Her name is Jennifer Giles. She is the host of course, the fabulous show called Breaking Barriers. And her just to give you a little bit of an introduction about her, Jennifer Giles is a longtime journalist, writer, and communicator. She believes in the power of storytelling and can help break through the barriers that prevent us from living life in our purpose. And isn't that just apropos to come just behind Kathy Hood, which talks about discovering your purpose? And then, of course, Jennifer Giles comes in and she does the 1-2 rope-a-dope punch to help you live from that place of purpose. Her word today is courage. And once again, Daddy God and the Holy Spirit set us up, because, of course, Kathy talked about fear. And so now we're going to combat that with a counter move from the Holy Spirit with the word courage. And so we're going to allow Jennifer to come in and share. Basically, she's going to kind of unpack moving from loss to life after. So she's going to show with us or share with us how to have the courage to do that. Welcome to the conversation, Jennifer.
Thank you. And thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome.
When I was asked to come up with one word, it took me a little while to decide what that would be, especially when we talk about grief, which is our theme tonight. And there are many words that I could think of to say, okay, when I hear grief, I hear this. But the one word that kept coming back to me is courage. And if you've lost anyone or anything significant, I think courage is what we all have to do. It wasn't until I went to see a grief counselor after I lost my mom 5 years ago, and he told me to go home and write down all the losses I had had. You know, he was talking about major losses. And he told me to, it doesn't necessarily have to be a person. And so once I started sitting down, creating this list, and I took it back to him, and he looked at it and said, wow, you've had a lot of loss. And so I had included jobs, I had been downsized from breakups that I had had. I included, you know, other kinds of losses. I included my dad, just all these losses I had had. And I never really thought about them as losses, because so often when we hear that word, we think of a person. But, you know, losing a relationship, losing a friendship, losing a job that we loved or that we depended on, you know, all these different types of ways in which things that we knew yesterday are not with us today. So courage, when I thought about courage, I said, okay, what does that mean? Courage. And then I thought about life after. So it takes courage to face the loss. It takes courage to let go of the past, but it also takes courage to let go of the dreams. One thing I learned in my grief counseling, and I never really thought about it, and I was sitting there, you know, with this grief counselor, and he was a faith-based grief counselor, and he said, so I was, you know, I was really upset, just crying, and he said, I can tell that one of the problems that you're having, and that a lot of people have when they lose someone, is to let go of that dream. And I said, well, what do you mean? It's letting go of all the things that you hope that you would do with that person, or all the things that you thought you were going to do, all of the conversations, the places you were going to go. So that's what he meant by letting go of the past, meaning, you know, this person is no longer with you physically, and then letting go of future are those dreams. So I thought about that, and then just, you know, trying to have understanding of loss. 3 years ago, I lost my sister. My sister and I lived across the street from each other for 21 years. We deliberately purchased our homes across the street from one another so that we could, you know, continue to see each other and help each other. We're both single. She got divorced, so we helped each other. I would come home and pull in the driveway and be taking groceries out of the car or out of the trunk. And then all of a sudden, I hear a voice across the street, you need help? Well, one day, with absolutely no warning whatsoever, I had seen her, I'd spoken with her 3 times that day. I saw her come back from her mile-long walk that she did every day. The next morning, she was gone. She was not ill. She was, you know, as I said, she walked a mile every day. So not only trying to understand how it happened, but why it happened. So understanding is another part of, you know, courage that I wrote down. I also think about loss and anger. Anger is part of loss sometimes. And it's part of that, that anger is, why did I lose this job? Or why did I lose this person? Or why did this person leave me? Or why is this relationship over? Sometimes that anger is directed at the person or people who we think are responsible. And sometimes that anger is internalized when we think we could have done something to prevent that loss from happening, whether it's a friendship or a relationship or a job or a pair of shoes that we thought we were going to have, or a vacation, and or even a person. So courage, it takes courage to face the loneliness. It takes courage to cherish those memories, especially when you think back and you know there's not going to be any new memories with that person. I remember going to work the day after my sister's funeral. This was 3 years ago. And I was talking to my boss. I was working for Dale at that time. And I was telling him, you know, he was just asking me about the services and things of that nature. And I remember telling him how every time you lose someone, part of you goes with them. So in a sense, you have to learn how to become a new person in some ways. Because with every relationship is different. And you're a different person with those individuals that we interact with. So for example, the kinds of things that I could talk about with my sister and laugh about and the kind of person I could be with her, I can't be exactly that same person with someone else. So in a way, you know, parts of you become new as you learn how to move on. And then also it takes courage to listen to some of the comments that people make about loss. Sometimes people don't realize that what they're saying is hurtful, that what they're saying is insensitive, or what they're saying is just not welcomed. I remember a lot of people saying to me when I lost my mom, the first question they asked me, well, how old was she? And so when I would tell them how old she was, they would say, well, you had her for a long time. So it's like, so what are you crying for? But what I said to them, to the people who went further to say, well, you know, you had her for a long time, is I didn't realize it until it happened. But sometimes when you do have a person for a long time and you don't have them anymore, it's a profound loss because you get used to them being there all your life. The same with my sister was 12 years older than me. So I was a child for a lot of the time when she was an adult, and the kinds of things that she helped me to get my first professional job, and she mentored me all the way through what to say, what not to say, who to eat lunch with, and not.
I'm listening to you, and I just wanted to interject for a second. First, our sincere condolences for the losses.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard to hear it and not respond in the moment to it. But I also wanna. There was a couple of places I just kind of wanted to unpack a little bit. And I'm sure Kim Crable feels the same way. You know, a part of the bigger conversation we also want to have is how can we, because a lot of people right now are dealing with that loss that you discussed,
yeah,
that
sure.
not just the facing the loss and not just the letting go of the past of the loss, but as you mentioned, the future plans. So a lot of people during this pandemic that we're experiencing, how can we use your story, so to speak, because you're an effective storyteller, how can we use that story to propel people to courage to deal with their current losses, the loss of, you know, possible jobs, but more than that, the fear that comes with, am I going to be able to find another job, or am I going to be able to transition into another space? So how can we utilize your gift of storytelling to help them live life with purpose, along with knowing that they're experiencing grief now?
Yes, exactly, Maura. That's exactly what I was saying. It's like, I know the listeners out there are feeling exactly, so you are bringing up so much of the emotions that so many people are feeling. You know, like you walked away and came back and your sister was gone. And what a loss. I can't imagine that loss. That propelled my thinking into the businesses that were burned been burned up, you know, that the lives that have been taken, you know, because of this virus, you know, a lot of people, right, Kathy, they're just, they have sudden losses. And this word courage, I think, is so important because God tells us in the book of Joshua, be strong and of good courage.
Yes.
And so to face these things with that courage, because, you know, one of the things that we know that people want to do right off the hand is start denying, oh, well, this isn't as bad as we think it is, or, oh, you know, and kind of sugarcoat it, as they used to say. Mm-hmm. It's like, we can't deny it anymore, can we, friends?
No.
It's like, we are in a situation in our world where we can't be in denial anymore. And so when we start talking about those stages of grief, which many of them that you talked about, Jennifer, you talk about the anger and the depression, you know, how do we help them? How do we help our listeners who are probably sitting, listening to you right now, crying because you've Right. touched such a nerve with your incredible gift of storytelling and your own pain? And they're thinking, well, it wasn't my sister, but it was my dad. It wasn't this, but it was my job. It wasn't this, but it's my dreams of what I thought was going to happen. What are some practical things that our listeners can start doing right now to start a healing process of this grief that is really trying to take them down, quite honestly?
Yes.
For the joy of the Lord is our strength, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And the enemy is robbing us with every building we see burning, with every stone we see throw, with every
life we're witnessing, you know, get snuffed out in front of us. All of those things have a grief.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what can help us? Yeah. Help us discover, how can we give these listeners the courage to move past it, to move on in spite of?
That's right. We have about 5 minutes to talk about this, right, Mara? So let's
look
at practical things that...
Actually, three. Okay. We have about 3 minutes.
Okay.
So what are three things maybe that we could do? And if anybody else would like to join this conversation, because this is rich. This is rich right here.
So one of the first things that my grief counselor told me, and I appreciate it, and I tell this to other people, is... He said, first of all, I want to tell you, you're not going to get over this. What I hope to be able to do is to help you learn how to live with it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Don't try to tell yourself, oh, I've got to get over this. And that leads me into something else. No one can dictate, if you will, to another person how long you should grieve. I think that as a society, especially in our country, we are impatient with grief. Some people, a lot of people, unfortunately, feel that once that funeral has taken place and the person has been buried, then something magical should happen to you as a survivor and you should be okay. When I came, you know, interestingly, the morning of my sister's funeral, my boss called me and he asked me if I was at work. And I said, no. I said, you know, my sister's service is this morning. He said, yeah, I know, but I thought maybe you would have gone in and just, you know, left and, you know, to go to the service. So the first thing really quickly, because I know we're running short on time. The first thing is just knowing that this is something you're going to, unfortunately, you the only way to get through it is to go through it and to get to the other side of it. The second thing is do not let anyone try and rush you. And then the third thing is getting to that point where you can accept it and knowing that, drawing on the strength from that, the time, the memories, the love that you had, and even the lessons, and then, you know, finding some way to move forward through, would say, is a process and a journey that I'm still on.
Kathy has a question. Go ahead, Kathy. Or
More so of like a comment on what she's saying. As she gave us those wonderful 3 points, again, yes, this is Kathy Hood. People, when we understand our gifts, because it may sound weird, but people are gifted in that manner. So I'm just going to say, you know, they don't know that they're operating, and I'm not taking up for the people who are insensitive, but some people are gifted that way, and they don't even realize that they're being insensitive. You know what I'm saying? And so with that being said, so for her to, you know, make the 3 points, and I want to say to the listeners that when they encounter someone, you know, just knowing that these people are operating in their gifts, but that's the ones that are out of balance. They don't know their gifts, you know? And so when they have not discovered it and they're operating, see, that's why I was saying the way that people, they're going to operate in their gifts to some extent, but they just don't know what it is. So it's more, it's important to know, but it's better to understand.
Understood. And what a wonderful way to kind of transition it, because this conversation is to, of course, help those that are listening better deal with it. But we've got some juicy nuggets out of this. A, people can be walking in a gift out of balance, but also people have no idea that they're even being insensitive in a moment. And that's because we don't get an opportunity to practice. Think about it. When someone passes away or someone loses a job, there is a knee-jerk or natural response or reaction. And then after a period of time, just as Jennifer explained, people believe, okay, after a period of time, you know, you plant a seed, after a period of time, there's a plant that grows up. Well, grief is different. It doesn't have rules. Right. It doesn't have a time limit, and it doesn't have an expiration date. There are some people who live with grief, and it will go on and on. But we are here to remind you and to reiterate that God's peace will be with you wherever you are, even in the process of the grief or the grieving stages. And though you may have lost a job, a home, some income, or a loved one, God's word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we are encouraging you to hold tight to his promises, hold tight to his unchanging word, and then allow yourself to be rocked into a state of peace, even though you may have to carry the rock of grief in your pocket. It's not the boulder it used to be that weighed you down and was on your back. It may become as a symbol of grief in your pocket that you just carry day to day, but it gets lighter and lighter. And so on that note, I'd like to turn it over to our co-facilitator, Kim Crable, and she's going to introduce our next guest.
What an incredible conversation this has been. And you know, this is what we want. I don't want, and I don't think any of us want to put together something of this quality and not hit these really hard subjects to talk about. Because just like you said, Mara, and I so agree, we don't practice the art of communication well enough. Mm-hmm. We want to, and that's part of the denial that we have been living in for so long. And, you know, denial can be okay for a short term. Denial can be okay long enough for us to kind of get our wits about us, know what to do, know how to react, but we can't stay in denial. And this conversation needs to be had even at a deeper level. And just before I go on to our next incredible man of wisdom, I'd like to just remind our listeners, you know, with all that practicality that you just heard, it was so rich and so wonderful, and the story was so intense. I think it drew us all in. But I want to remind you in Proverbs 2, verse 5 through 7, that God tells us as we're grieving, as we're going through things, he says, I will give you the understanding of what to do. And you know, that is so empowering to me. As a matter of fact, he says the wisdom, the understanding has already been stored for you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's powerful. And what that tells me is that God knew that we were going to get to this day.
Yes.
He's not been caught off guard. I see Kathy clapping. He knew this day was coming, and he has the wisdom and the understanding stored up for us.
Yes.
Just like with those spiritual gifts with Kathy, we have to unpack it. Right, Kathy? Mm-hmm. Kathy's about to have a fit over there.
I am. You are so on it. You are so on it. That is so true. Yes, you're right. And let me just say this really quickly. I'm just going to make it quick, guys.
Please.
So, you know, that way if, you know, and I said what I said too, so that way that we won't add something else to our situation. You know, when you're talking about, you know, you're already grieving, so you're going to get, I don't want people to get mad at the person you know, that is, they feeling is doing some type of injustice. And then that's going to be something else you add on to being angry and different things like that. But what you just said, just hit in a nutshell, Kim. And it's just about that understanding. I love it. Love it.
Well, that's just God's word. I'm passing along. So
that's good. Amen.
And he has it stored up for us. And so I just, Jennifer, thank you for all that wisdom that you just shared with us. You gave people a path. You know, you didn't just give off cliches, just like with Kathy. You all gave meat and, you know, practicality. It's like, okay, now after listening to that, I know how to get started. And, you know, that's a powerful thing for us to do. For so many years, I would hear all the grand talk, but I never knew how to get started. It's like, somebody tell me what's step one. So listeners, I hope that you have your pen. And guess what? If you don't, you can replay it back because there's a lot of wisdom in here. So let's move on because we have lots more wisdom and we have a man on the panel. And so we're going to bring him in. His name is Reggie Hammond. And Reggie also has a show on Up to Me Radio, and it's called Finding Your Forte. Well, Mari, isn't it just like we started out with facing our fear, unpacking those gifts so that we can, and then once we do that, we have to have the courage. And then Reggie comes along with his word, purpose. Now we can take that and...
Kim, let me interrupt 1 second. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
We rephrased it and reframed it, and it's actually reimagine.
Oh, well, that's
it. Reimagine. And you're absolutely right. That word, reimagine, is so full of possibilities. That's okay. It's quite all right. And his sentence is reimagine your new
okay.
normal.
Well, I'm just going to bring Reggie in so we can show us what reimagine it really means, because I'm not really looking forward to this now. So Reggie, come on in and join the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I am here to inform you both that you're both right. It's actually reimagine purpose.
Yes. Wonderful.
Now, you know, during these times, it's just we're at a moment where reflection, you know, people are forced to have reflection and they're glad. I had a conversation earlier today with a client who said, I know I'm supposed to be upset and disappointed with this, but I actually am enjoying it. And I think it's because they never would on their own will have taken this time to reflect and reimagine purpose. So very much like Kathy, in the work that I do with clients, I help them navigate their path to purpose, usually in the lens of businesses and career. But I still want that instruction booklet though, Kathy. So I want the teacher's guide. So,
I'm here for you, Reggie. I'm here for you.
So I am, I'm excited to be a part of this conversation because I do think it is so critical that people reimagine where they're headed. In a business context, organizations are really looking at what this, and again, it's become, you know, kind of a often repeated word, this new normal for organizations. They're really kind of figuring out where they find, do they fall in winners and losers? And I think people are having to do the same thing. They're having to think about the ways in which they're gifted and how do they channel them into, is it some emerging need, some emerging world critically unmet need, or is there some new vision of the world that we're looking to create? I was sharing with a young man earlier today who's really discouraged with all the civil unrest. And I just reminded him, I was like, you may wanna go look at, to see some of the things that have really just happened in the midst of that. And to know that right before your eyes, if you blink, you will miss some of the greatest civil rights advancements since Dr. King. Like that's how powerful and compelling some of the things that are happening now. So you really want to think about, you know, what role you're playing in that. So we all are at this place where we are having the opportunity to reimagine what our world, what our lives, what our businesses, what our careers will look like. And I am personally, and I'm encouraging others to embrace that.
I love that when you said reimagine what the world could look like. Right. And, you know, as a team, I think we need to dive into that. What is it that we hope that this pandemic brings in the midst? I mean, because if you look at the news, we look pretty hopeless. Now, we know that we're not, because hope has a name and his name is Jesus, right? So we know that we have the hope. But that really causes me to pause, Reggie, and I think, what is the reimagination of the world? And more importantly, what's my responsibility in making that happen? So can we talk about that for just a minute?
Sure. So I often think about purpose in a context of vision. So purpose is what work you're going to do, and vision is what you're going to see when you get there. All right. And so what happens is if we're making our way through a journey, we get to a place where, I mean, it really feels like the earth has moved under our feet, and it's causing us to reset our vision. Like, is where I'm headed still in the same place it was? Is the vision I'm working towards, did it move? You know, and should I be recasting my vision? Am I looking at it from a different angle? Should I be, you know, targeting some other part of it? And so that's really what I think this whole reimagine is. It's also, in a way, a recast of priorities. You know, things have changed so quickly around the way in which we move about the world. You know, people's values have been, in some ways, just exposed or amplified. Like, how close are you to your family? I bet you're really close now because you're spending a lot of time with them. So there's just so many things that it's almost like a reshuffle of the cards, and you have an opportunity to, you know, start with a new hand. I don't know how far that analogy will go, but
that's a good analogy. You're reshuffling the deck, any deck, anytime you get an opportunity to move something that may have been in the back of your mind to the front of your mind. And one of the conversations we had last night, a person, it was Gail, she was talking about how it was time for her to finally get busy. She applied for a job, and because COVID hit, she found herself resting and she didn't need the rest because she had already been resting, which reminds me of the woman, the story in the Bible of the oil. You know, what do you have? What do you have? And God wants to take what we have, right, and multiply it. So with your wonderful gift of again, excavating things, just like Kathy, you guys have that in common. What are some of the maybe practical steps we can share with people while they're in this season of a holding pattern, or the deck is being cut? You know what I'm saying? So what can we tell them to possibly begin to reshuffle and deal out some things to see what that new normal may look like, or what that reimagination may look like? You know, maybe the vision was there, but they've got to put some sparkles around it, or they've got to put it in bold letters. So share with them how they can begin to reimagine that, recalibrate and refocus, so that they can see something before them, because we know you have to see it before you see it, or you'll never see it, right?
Right. You know, I think in a lot of ways, it starts by honoring the fact that you are uniquely gifted with a set of gifts that are to be used for a specific purpose. And it is so easy in our world of distractions and, you know, jobs with raises and promotions to find yourself going down the path that someone else would have you go, as opposed to honoring your own purpose and being steadfast about the work that you're called to do. So the first step is to acknowledge that you've been given these gifts and to honor it by putting it in an actual plan. So I always, you know, so it within finding your forte, we have kind of three steps. First you find your forte, and then you compose your own masterpiece, and then you play your crescendo. So for me, finding your forte is about inventory in the gifts that you have. What are your passions? What are your strengths? What are your motivations? And then where do those three things overlap? And if you can take that kind of old braided cord of strengths, passions, and motivations and plug them into the power of a calling, that calling could be some critically unmet need in the world, or it should be some element of vision that either needs to be created or enhanced or refocused. If you take, and that's kind of, you guys hinted at this earlier, it's kind of like your superpower, right? You take that superpower and plug it into the thing that it's supposed to be doing. Well, that's when celestial choirs are singing and you just have so much organic success. You can't go wrong because you're just walking in the thing that you're called to do, and all of the things that God has laid out in front of you are manifest just by, you know, operating in the word and in the work that he's called you to do, and you're being faithful to it. And it is its own reward.
I love that, Reggie. I have to be honest with you. Everything you're saying is so amazing, and it brings me, you know, to a place of, which I hope that each of our listeners, we pray this, that each of the listeners would be brought to their place of responsibility in this series. And, you know, the strengths and the passion and the motivation, it's like, what is it? What is it going to take to motivate us to reimagine enough to, it brings us to a step of action? And in 30 seconds, I will just tell you that one of the things that God is calling me to reimagine is what love really looks like. You know, I too, Kathy, I feel like, you know, I'm an exhorter. I want to see people live their, you know, God's best life for them. That it just, when I see people's lights turn on, like, oh, I got it. I mean, I can't sleep for days. I just spin like a little top. I mean, that just, I love that. So I always thought, boy, I'm really good at this thing called love. I mean, now, you know, I have a lot of weaknesses, but boy, I know how to love. I realized I don't have a clue. I listened to Mara the other night on her show, and I listened to her hurt, and I listened to a lot of the things that are causing the tension that's going on in our world. And I realized that I've been so busy trying to love, love, love the way Kim, really from a good place in my heart that I thought, but so much of love is stopping and finding the motivation, like Reggie was talking about, to listen. You know, love is listening. And yes. And coming back to your place to find the strength and the passion to do something, to reimagine what you can do differently to make the world a better place. So I don't know if there's any communication on that about, you know, Reggie, listening better, you know, to where we can start an understanding so we can dive into this so that we truly can understand one another. Because when I reimagine a world so different than what we're facing today. And I pray to God every day and every night, because we probably all have children, grandchildren, people we love that we're taking care of. I don't want them to have this world. I don't want any race to feel less than or better than. I don't want anybody to feel like that they can disrespect someone the way we're disrespecting one another, to burn down people's businesses that they've given their life for. When you think about reimagine, boy, we could do a whole conference on this. So can you tell us, you know, from a standpoint of making our world better today, how can we reimagine that enough? And maybe some of the other people might have comments too. How can we reimagine this enough that it brings us to a point of responsibility that we're willing to be different to make it happen?
Yeah, you know, you've hit on some really important aspects, frankly, that I face daily in this work. And what I will say is, first of all, you talked about listening and the importance of the role of listening and loving someone. And I am fortunate enough to have a career that requires me to actively listen. And in such a way, and Kathy can probably attest to this, and in such a way that it is exhausting.
Yes.
I have a series of conversations with clients, and they will have done most of the talking. If I did my job, they did most of the talking. Yes. And when I'm done, I am beat yes. from having to actively listen and to take in what they're saying and make sure that they have what they need in order to kind of get them to the next spot. So it's really important that we practice active listening in the spirit of loving on each other. And it's
maybe I didn't ask that question correctly, because I know what I see what you're saying here. Maybe this is best the way I framed it, because I'm listening too. I know, you know, the listening, but as a counselor, I listen. But maybe the question is I didn't provide a great enough platform for someone to say what they needed to say so I could hear. Am I making sense?
It makes sense. I guess what I'm sharing with you is the importance that we all will actively listen to each other in that way. Because yeah. right now, I think we're in a space where people are talking at each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's important. You might actually have to go into a conversation and commit to not necessarily being right, or not necessarily having the opportunity to, you know, say this is how I feel, or get something off your chest. If you really and truly want to love each other, all of us, then you have to develop a healthy strength and skill around active listening to each other.
Yeah. You know, I want to jump in for a second here, because Kim gave an example of the show that I did, and it would have been really easy for her to just switch from my Facebook feed to another channel. I was doing an Up to Me Radio show for OMG, and this is Mara speaking, and she could have just easily navigated to a whole nother channel, page, listen to someone else. But she did the hard thing, which was hear the hard truth. And therein lies the rub, if you will. If more people, as you just wonderfully stated, would take the time to listen, even when you don't agree, even when it may hurt your ears or your heart to hear, because it is in hearing and really, you know, our theme, of course, are you listening? It's we are trying to make sure that people are dialed in and tuned in to actually hear our heart. You know, you're listening. Are you hearing what we're saying? And that's how we get to this next place, especially when we are dealing with the pandemic and we're dealing with the racial tensions that were going on and the unrest and all the feelings that come with that. So it becomes pause. Listen for real, listen with love, right? Listen with love so that God can do all that he needs to do in the midst of that. And that's the way that I believe we get an opportunity to move forward in that love, Kim, that you said, I thought I knew and I did not know. It is by opening ourselves up to the uncomfortable things and hearing the heart of someone because they're human or American or whatever they may happen to be bringing to the table, and you helping people find their forte and then reach that crescendo. And of course, listening is exhausting for one who listens all day, but we are the better for having shared what's on our heart, and you take all of that in and then package it so that when we leave or we leave the conversation, we not only feel heard, but we know we're understood. Because when we leave, you send us on a mission with a purpose to do the job that we were created to do, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what's so important. That's what we want. You know, that's what we want. And, you know, Reggie, when I was listening to Mara, I just didn't, you know, I just feel like, and maybe this is a follow-up, Melinda, maybe this is a follow-up that we do, is to really be able to set forth, and everything I try to do is based on conversations. COFFEE stands for Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. So I love the dialogue. I love to hear people's hearts and what's going on. I think what caught me so off guard was the depth of Mara's hurt, and I felt it bubbling. And I text Melinda, our executive director, and I said, everything she's saying is just tearing at my heart. Because I love her so much, and to hear the pain of some things that had happened to her, the pain of it coming out, you know, helped me, Maura, and I just thank you so much for your courage, because it helped me to see, it gave me a new lens through a lot of things that I'm seeing on TV and things. And I pray that through this conversation, you know, that Reggie, you've taught us about, you know, learning, you know, using our strengths, our passion, our motivation to reimagine. And that's what we want, is to reimagine, to find our gifts and to find the courage to say, I refuse to settle for things the way they are, because we know that this does not please God. We know he doesn't smile upon this. Mm-hmm. We know that he mourns with us. We know he cries with us. And so I just thank you so much, because I'm so glad that I was caught off guard with the reimagine, because it did catch me off guard, and I love it. And you have just, my mind is just going 90 miles to a minute. That's a Southern term about, you know, reimagining what can be. So thank you, Reggie, so much. Yes. And Maura, I'm going to throw it back to you, but I do throw it back to you with such a great admiration for you to be willing to go to the heart places and share with us your heart that will forever change my life.
You know, there's nothing but love for you. Nothing but, I tell you, we're heart sisters. Super excited about how this conversation has shifted and taken us directly down the next space that we need to discover. You know, we've located that, hey, you've got to discover your purpose, your gifts. We also realize that in doing that, you have to have the courage to move forward in that. And then that rich and tasty word called reimagine your purpose, especially now more than ever before, is going to take us right into our next guest, who has been patiently standing by. And when I say we're going to let the locomotive speak, you're going to watch this locomotive speak. Her name is Alicia Ward, and her word is reprioritize. Priorities. Reprioritize the priorities in your life. And if we were to say that she had a sentence about that, it would be, who or what are you worshiping during this season? And it's important that we understand and we know that. So I'm going to just bring her on by saying, as a result of Alicia's positive outlook, and after a bit of divine intervention, Alicia was inspired to create There Is Life After Layoff. That is also the title of her radio show. We welcome to the conversation Alicia Ward.
Oh, wow. Yes, I have been patiently waiting my turn, and I'm so excited to be a part of this platform. This conversation is so necessary, so needed. I want to first drop a nugget, because a resounding theme that we've kind of heard throughout the conversation this evening is about grief and about loss. And I too, like Jennifer, back in 2017, had back-to-back devastating losses. I lost my brother, and then within 3 months, I lost my dad. I too took advantage of grief counseling. And one of the things that I want to share with those who may be tuning in is something that I learned, is grief is the price that we pay for loving someone. Give yourself permission to grieve. And just like Jennifer said, there's no time frame. You don't ever get over those kind of losses, but you just learn how to live with it and get through each day.
Alicia, I have to interrupt just for a moment. One of our guests, we forgot, had a previous commitment. So before you go into your story, I don't want to interrupt that, but we would love to just thank Reggie Hammond for being a part of the conversation, adding value to this conversation. Reggie, thank you for parting the Red Seas of your world and participating.
Yes. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. This has been an amazing conversation, and I've just feel fortunate and blessed to have been a part. So thank you.
I will remember this for a long time. Reimagine.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Okay, Alicia, my apologies, if you would.
No worries. So just to get started, when we asked one word, to come up with a word for this evening's platform, this conversation, reprioritizing just kept resonating in my spirit. And the reason why I say that it just kept resonating, because I actually, when I started my journey with There Is Life After Layoff, that was the first thing that I had to do, that God dealt with me. Just to give you a little backstory, just to bring it all home, my journey to purpose actually began with a prayer. So there is hope in prayer. I, just to drop a nugget and just remember this, I had allowed my job to become my idol. That's why I added to that reprioritizing, what or who are you worshiping? I had allowed my job at that time to become my idol. Well, prayer, interject prayer. Knew I was spinning my wheels, floating over my life, looking down over it. Prayed to God, what, God, please show me my purpose. Well, as we all know, God does have a sense of humor. Little did I know, he showed me in the form of a layoff. I didn't quite expect it to look like that, but there you go. But what he had to do, what he showed me, was that I was worshiping that job and idolizing that job over him. That was not what he had purposed me to do. So he had to, guess what, remove that distraction in order to propel me into my purpose. So he removed me from the job, and immediately I was able to hear from him, and he showed me what he had purposed for me. And he dropped in my spirit, literally, I want you to start this blog, and I want you to call it There Is Life After Layoff. And I, Melinda will remember that I was so excited about that, that revelation. And I called and I shared it with her. But after I had that revelation, I then had to stop and take a look at myself in the mirror. And I realized that my priorities were all out of whack. I, like I said, had idolized my job, but there were other things in my life that it was so out of balance. And I literally had to look at myself in the mirror of my life. What he showed me was that you can't give somebody else what you don't have for yourself. Mm-hmm. I had to get some balance. First, I had to put him first, reprioritizing. Then I had to put myself. And people may hear that and say, oh, that's selfish. No, no, it's not. It's okay. Because like I mentioned, I can't give to somebody else what I can't give to myself. Right. In order for me to best that I can be for my family, I have to have myself together. That means health, eating, sleep, emotional, spiritual, all of that. Then family. Then guess what came last? Job. Yeah, I had to reprioritize all of that. But just to kind of connect it to what we're doing now, God had to remove, and this is my opinion, he removed what we idolized in society. He removed what, the sporting events, he removed concerts, even going to church. Because what I like to say, God, you don't necessarily have to go to a building with four walls to worship God and have a relationship with God. It's not about the building. And that's what we have to stop thinking. You can worship God wherever you are. He is with you. Yes. You just got to tap into your spiritual self. But he removed and he shut down everything. He wanted us to refocus on him, being in relationship with him. He removed the idols. And I want to also relate that to, I heard a really powerful sermon by a popular pastor that I listen to quite often. But he talked about how the world has redefined the word blessed. When we think of being blessed, oftentimes you think of monetary. You think about stuff. But go to the word, you know, Matthew 5, verse 3 through 11. What does it talk about? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're blessed in so many different ways that you don't realize it, but we have come to just identify it and connect it to monetary. So he removed that obstacle.
so that we could get back in line, reprioritize some things in our lives, get in touch with who we are, get back in relationship with Him, and redefine what it is to be blessed.
And Alicia, I'm going to jump in because what you just said was so, it's so rich. And you know, I love to unpack some of that. When He allowed us to redefine the word blessed, and, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful that I don't view being blessed as having a huge bank account or any of that, but also to take or gasp or have breath in your lungs, especially mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. during this pandemic, the gift of being able to breathe in without yes. being intubated or, right. or the gift to live and be healthy and to not contract, you know, COVID-19. And, you know, someone said, it's a horrible time. This is a horrible time to die. And, yes. and of course, any time is a horrible time to die.
Right.
Think about it. Now it's even worse to die because your loved ones may not be able to be with you right. if you're in the exactly. hospital. So in the midst of all of that, He, as you've just wonderfully been stating, has allowed us to reprioritize Him, reprioritize yes. family, reprioritize mm-hmm. friends, reprioritize the things that are most important mm-hmm. and families not being able to send their kids to school and not being on the highways going to work and being at home with their children. Talk a little bit about how, you know, like with you, you were able to create this blog, which then I know personally turned into a radio show, a book, and then a radio show. You parlayed that pain into purpose, and it's always wonderful how Daddy allows purpose to be parlayed mm-hmm. into profit, and the profit mm-hmm. doesn't have to be monetary profit.
Right.
It's profit because you've helped other people. So share with our listeners perhaps maybe how they can reprioritize some things in order, especially during the midst of this pandemic and in the midst of these racial tensions. Share with them possibly some of the steps that they can take to do some of the things you did. You know, you took concrete steps to get to where you are and you've been successful at it. And all the while raising teenage kids, I might
have. Right, so, right, right.
So share with our listeners.
And I hate to say this, but we're down to about 2 or 3 minutes. So.
Well, real quickly, you're going to have to really just look at yourself in the mirror of your life. Understand and know that you are responsible for you. You are responsible for the choices you make. So when you say somebody makes me sick, no, you make yourself sick. It's okay to just accept that. And I want to say being right is highly overrated. So because what does being right get you? Does it give you peace? And oftentimes it doesn't, you know. So you just got to really be willing to do a lot of deep soul searching and take responsibility for how you react in a situation and realize that you may be the reason why you're out of balance, not somebody else. Love be you. Willing to take a look at yourself. And that's what I had to do for myself. And we're all a work in progress and understand and know, don't beat yourself up because you see these things. Just work on yourself and let other people be responsible for themselves. That's what I had to do.
That's good.
Just bring it right back to the one place that I have been empowered to make a change, and that's the woman in my mirror.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And you can only put your own, you have to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help anyone anyway, right?
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's impossible to continue to help everybody else, and you're dying, you're starving, you're deprived. And so this conversation has been beyond rich. And we'd like you guys to continue this conversation. You can follow all of us on uptomeradio.com. We each have show pages. You can continue this conversation with us and have other conversations with us. Alicia Ward, we are so grateful for your gifts, your patience, and your contributions to this stimulating conversation. You're welcome. I want to remind all of our listeners that we also are available on for podcast on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, Google Play, the Stitcher app, as well as iTunes. We're under the umbrella of Up2MeRadio.com. That's Up 2meradio.com. I'm Mara Gale, and I have had the honor of co-facilitating this conversation with none other than Kim Crable. And our executive producer, Melinda Davis, had this amazing idea, this wonderful, rich vision. And I remember when she shared it with us, and Kim and I were elated about it. But what has been transpiring, and I'm sure you would agree, our friends, our listeners, what has been transpiring in these last couple of days has been rich content, information, and heartfelt stories that are taking you from today to your tomorrows. We don't know what's all in store for us, but we know who's waiting patiently with their arms wide open. And on that note, I'm going to hand this off to the woman that I know will wrap this whole baby up looking beautiful as ever, my co-facilitator, Kim Crable. Take us away, Kim.
Well, thank you so much, Mara. And to each of the ladies and Reggie, please just, I hope that you know how appreciated you are and how admired you are. And I have just taken so many notes based on what you said. And it's just a thumbprint of what I know that you know. So I would really love, I hope that Melinda has a vision for us to carry this on even more in depth, because I know that we're just barely scratching to the surface. Wouldn't you all agree? So thank you all so much. And to our listeners, I want you to know that tonight, I hope you have been able to grab hold of hope in the midst of this grief, because we are in a time in our world where there's a lot of grief, there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of things going on. But I heard a quote one time. It says, grief is simply love that has no place to go. Grief is simply love that has no place to go. I believe in the hearts of most all of us that there is a love, and we don't know what to do with it. And so tonight, I think that we've answered so many questions for our listeners and for those who are wondering. I believe that we've been able to say, you know, how do I reprioritize what's going on? How do I look at this and be responsible? And I just want to thank you so much, Alicia, because you brought it back to me. What is my responsibility? And then for Reggie, reimagine. Let's reimagine what it can be. Let's not look at the news and settle for that. You know, as believers, we have hope. We can say, no, we are going to stand for something better. God, we want to bring your kingdom come to this earth, right? Your kingdom come. Help me to know how to do that. And then to be courageous. Like Jennifer said, let's be courageous in standing up to whatever it is we need to do to face our fears and to rely on that joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy comes when Kathy gets with us and shows us how to walk in our significance, how to walk in our purpose, so that we don't have to compare ourselves or feel less than, because we know the lights in our hearts have been turned on. And listeners, that's the key. That's the key. Know who you are. God has given us time. He's called us to a big time out in this pandemic. And he's saying, you know, call Kathy, call these women. Let's figure this out. Let's work together as we're supposed to. God did not make us to be live this life on our own, and neither are we going to heal or be all that we're supposed to be on our own. So friends, I just thank you. I'll leave you with this thought. In Matthew, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus brought all of his disciples together. We're all here together. We're all here for one reason. We want to hear. We want to listen. And after he finished talking, as we finished tonight, Jesus looked at them and he said, now go. Get out of this holy huddle. Go. Go be the salt. Take your gifts and go be the light. Walk in your courage. Imagine what this world can be. And as they turned and they were about to walk away, just as we are, he concluded with, and don't you forget this, wherever you go, I'll be with you. He goes with us. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank each and every one of you for giving of your life and your experience and your expertise to fulfill my heart the way it feels tonight, our listeners. And I'm very excited to know that we have one more session where we all come back, and I'm going to throw it to our executive director to tell us, Melinda Davis, who I love and adore, and thank you for this vision, to tell us what we can look forward to in our final series of this three-part series, Pandemic.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Thank you, Mara. Thank you, Kathy, Alicia, Jennifer, and Reggie. I'm going to tell you, I've been listening. I've been smiling the whole time because I'm so, you know, you never know as you're planning and you have this vision, you never know how it's going to turn out. And the one thing that I love about Up to Me Radio and all of you is that you stay in the moment. And so in the moment came the revelation that God has used breath to get our attention. COVID-19, breath. Racial tension, breath. That revelation through this conversation rose to the surface for me that he used breath, and it's the breath that he gives us for life. Yeah. So he's talking to us. Are we listening? And the power of listening is where the healing is. Right now we're screaming, but in the screams, there's hope.
Yes.
And that's what this whole series is about. Tomorrow will be our final part of the series where we're going to bring it all together. What does God promise us? What is the opportunity? What do you have to look forward to? We're going to remind you. We're not telling you. We're going to remind you what God has already told you he has in store for you. So with that, I want to thank you all. This has been phenomenal. We started something. I know we're going to keep this going, but for our listeners, tune in, share this with a friend, and may it bless you as much as it is blessing us to bring this to you. So with that, I'm going to say so long, but tune in tomorrow. We'll be back.